The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, February the 19th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Lucas Wolf, the new driver of the Buffalo Wild Wings 410 Sprint Car. We'll also talk with Darren Pittman, who's the new driver for the number 9 Great Clips Casey Kane Racing 410 Sprint Car on the World of Outlaws. And we'll talk a little 360 Sprint Car racing with the Raging Cajun Jason Johnson as he sets sail after another ASCS National Championship. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. And by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Dave Darland, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, a couple weeks ago, I ran into this young man down in Baltimore at the unveiling of the KV Racing Technology team cars of Simone Di Silvestre and Tony Kanaan, and had a chance to have lunch and talk with Lucas Wolf out of Mechanicsburg. And now we're talking with Lucas, the brand new driver of the Wild Wings, Buffalo Wild Wings, as you say, number 82 410 Sprint Car. Lucas, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and congratulations on the new ride.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
We had a good time chatting down in Baltimore, but I detected that something was not right, and I knew you were a little anxious and trying to find something or see what was going to happen. You've had some great runs over the last few years with the World of Outlaws. How did this new ride all come about?
They had an opportunity or an opening, and I was able to talk to them over the course of January a few times, and we were slowly working things out. Unfortunately, the Alibach Racing team that I've been with for many years now, and with the Outlaws the last few years, we weren't really able to continue going. So it was good for me to find an option, and especially one as good as this, this late in the year is awful rare. So I'm very fortunate to have another opportunity to go out to race nationally and run a lot of races this year.
I know through reading a lot of reports, it was though that you folks were running on a shoestring budget. What was that like as a driver over the past few years, knowing that, I guess, with that case, you had to really take care of the car and get from race to race? Does that weigh on a driver after a while, knowing what you have to do in order just to get from one race to the other?
Well, I guess that's just part of it. We wanted to pursue that avenue of racing with the Outlaws, and we were fortunate to be able to do it for a number of years. And in all honesty, it kind of stretched the amount of money that we did have to use. I was always fortunate as well to have Jim and Laura Alibach as car owners who were really tremendous and did everything they could for me. So I was fortunate. I was never in a position where I was forced to kind of give anything up. Obviously, you miss out on a few things by not having a budget like you'd want. But I was still able to be at all the races for the last 5 years, and that takes a huge commitment from the car owner, so I was fortunate to have it.
And this past year, of course, you went on to record your first ever World of Outlaws A main feature event win, that coming at the famed Bloomington Speedway. That, over the past 5 years, I guess outside of winning the Rookie of the Year, that's going to rank up there as the highlight so far, besides being on the tour as a regular.
Yeah, certainly. It was the high point of my career thus far. It was great to finally win an outlaw race. I tried for a very long time and been close a lot, but it shows that it certainly isn't easy. We were fortunate to get going really well at the middle part of the year. and was able to capitalize on it at a great night at Bloomington. So it was certainly a good night, and a great deal of momentum was gained by me and experience as well. And I just was the next step in the progression of staying at this. So hopefully I'll be able to use some of that experience this year and repeat, and hopefully multiple times.
Lucas, as you look back on the 2012 World of Outlaws season, how would you critique yourself as a driver, and where do you still feel you want to improve to go from where you're at now, where you finished ninth in the points, to jumping up there and eventually finishing in the top five as you work your way towards winning an Outlaw Championship?
Well, this year was our most trying year that we've had since we've been traveling. We had a lot of difficulties with engines, especially the first half of the year. And that really kind of put us behind, especially for as far as points go. I think the second half of the year showed what more of what our potential was. We raced, we qualified better, we raced a lot better, a lot of top fives, was able to win, and it was almost a tale of two completely different seasons. I myself, of course, just like any driver, really, you've got to improve every facet as much as you can. It's a never-ending thing. Guys keep getting better and better, especially as the rules change with tires and as well as wings all becoming less effective. The cars are really, there's so much parity right now, it's not, there's really no variety. So the only way that you can gain an advantage is working well with your mechanic and being smart as a driver, being able to get the most out of the car, be able to relate the most accurate information you can so you can make the correct adjustments. So those are definitely things that are important. And dirt racing, more than anything, especially with the wing sprint car, you have to be smart at reading the track, knowing what's going to happen. Our races that are 40 laps, especially the smaller tracks, the track changes so much over the course of just the feature. So you have to be able to dial your car in for the right time in the race. And usually that's the end, of course, when it pays the money to finish there. So it's always an ongoing thing. But I'm happy with the way I keep improving. I feel better and better all the time as a driver, and I feel like I'm able to kind of accommodate all those things at once better. And it's just it's a long road to get there. Obviously, some of the guys we're racing with have done this for over 30 years, and there's a reason that they're the best, and that's a lot of experience. So hopefully I'm able to have that kind of longevity, and at some point I'll be at that level as well.
You guys are beginning the season with the American Sprint Car Series on February 22nd. Tell us a little bit about what kind of schedule you'll be racing throughout the year.
Well, it's going to be all over. There's going to be a lot of outlaw races, a lot of ASDS races. Going to be at Knoxville a fair amount, as well as a lot of races around the whole region. We have a strong presence there, and we're going to just pretty much pick what's best for us at the particular time. It's good to have that luxury as a driver. You're able to pick out where you need to go to get certain tracks where you feel like you need to get better and try to improve, especially using Knoxville as an example for the Nationals. So it'll be good to get some extra laps there. And at the moment, it's pretty flexible. So we're just trying to work out exactly where we want to be and when. And as car owners, Todd and Lisa are providing that for me, that's going to be certainly a great luxury as a driver.
That includes coming back to your home here in Central Pennsylvania and running some shows with the posse at some point outside of whatever All-Stars or World of Outlaws you decide to race with?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Obviously, it's important for me to be able to race at home as much as possible, and it's always good to get back home. I've not really run too many regular races there since joining the Outlaws, so anytime you're able to get back home, it's good. At the moment, I don't have any exact plans of precisely how it's going to work out, but hopefully we'll get things rolling here, get the season started, and then we'll get a pretty good working schedule. But we'll definitely be back at some point, and I'll look forward to that.
You mentioned working with mechanics, and you have a new crew chief in Greg McCormick. What have you been able to do assess from Greg so far as to where you guys are at, and how did he play a role in helping you pick up this ride in the number 82 Buffalo Wild Wings 410 sprint car?
Well, I've known Greg for many years now, ever since I started traveling, and I've never worked with him, but we've been around each other quite a bit, and he's always got along with him good. He's an extremely hard worker. He's been with some of the best guys in the business and learned a lot from them, and now he has the opportunity to take over the reins of the team, and he's done a good job with that. Obviously, the car was pretty competitive last year, and certainly hoping to improve on that this year. But it's a tremendous team. We have great equipment, and definitely looking forward to it.
Speaking of equipment, what will you have under the hood? What will you have as a chassis for this year?
We have Maxim chassis and Parker engines.
That's a pretty potent combination right there. Now, when you and I had mentioned earlier in our interview here, as we're talking with Lucas Wolf, the new driver of the number 82 Buffalo Wild Wings 410 Sprint Car, we were sitting and having lunch down in Baltimore. You had gone out and done some road testing out in California and are hoping to at some point pursue some asphalt racing. Where does that stand, and how will that play into what your schedule will allow you to do in the upcoming 2013 season?
Well, last year we got a partnership with Greg O'Neill of the Baltimore Grand Prix, and that's where I was down in Baltimore to support him in his official unveiling of his tickets for the 2013 Grand Prix. So I was definitely enjoyed that time, and through those opportunities, I had the chance to go out to Sonoma and do some road racing with the Sim Raceway School. Definitely a lot of fun. It was a lot of stuff learned in a short amount of time, and it's amazing how many things are going to carry over to the sprint car, different techniques and stuff. They definitely have a lot of that down to the science. I've always wanted to pursue some kind of open wheel racing, and I'm not sure exactly what the plans are at some point. I'd like to try to get something going with that, but at the moment don't have any have anything working in that direction. Just focus on the upcoming season with the Buffalo Wild Wings team.
So after the 22nd, I understand from reading some reports, you will be heading over there to Las Vegas with the Outlaws. Where do you guys go after that for March? Do you know at least that part of your schedule yet?
At this time, we just have the first 3 or 4 weeks worked out through Las Vegas, and then the Tucson Outlaw race, and then after that, we're kind of up in the air. That's something that we're kind of flexible on, which, like I said, kind of goes back to that thing that it's good to have that ability to kind of decide where you need to go at the time. And once you're out there, obviously there's a lot of options where we can race that time of year. So as of now, we don't quite have that worked out, but hopefully be able to get that sorted out soon.
So it sounds like it's going to be a true outlaw-style schedule for this upcoming season. Any ideas to how many races you guys could potentially have on the calendar for 2013?
Yeah, we're shooting for a lot. We're shooting for 100 to 105, so it'll definitely be a busy year. It's been a couple of years since I've run that many races, so I'm looking forward to it. It's good for the driver. Anytime you're able to be in the seat that much, you just get so much experience throughout the year, and you're so in tune with all your stuff. You know, your success really shows that. So back in 2007, I did 116 sprint car races, so that was a thing that really helped me along learning a lot, and now that I have a few more years under my belt, getting to run that many races again is definitely going to be a big help for me.
Well, Lucas, as always, we appreciate your time, and best of luck to you and the team for a safe 2013 season, and look forward to seeing you back home here in Pennsylvania in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. Thanks again for having me, and hope to see you all soon.
Lucas Wolf, the new driver of the number 82 Buffalo Wild Wings 410 Sprint Car, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this. Championship race teams like Donnie Schatz depend on quality parts to make it through a season. That's why they and other champions rely on Rod Ends from Rod End Supply.
Hi, this is Bob Douglas, and for 23 years, we have been delivering the best quality rod ends on the market, with on-time deliveries and customer service second to none. And this philosophy will continue.
To learn more about Rod End Supply, call them toll-free at 1-800-284-2902 or visit them online at rodendsupply.com. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Hi, this is Amy Ott, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Time now to be joined by the current World of Outlaw points leader, former member of the Pennsylvania Posse, and now the driver for the Casey Kane No. 9 Great Clips, originally from Owosso, Oklahoma, now making his home in Pittsboro, Indiana. We welcome in Darren Pittman. Darren, always a pleasure to talk with you. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. That's for sure. I always enjoy it.
Well, Darren, how does that feel, the current World of Outlaws points leader?
Well, it sounds pretty cool. I'll be honest with you. It's something I've never done. So, from a goal standpoint, it's pretty neat to say I led, but pretty much after that, I'll be a lot happier if you want to call and you're able to say the same thing in around October or so. It'll mean a lot more then, but long year. We got a great start, but lot of really good race teams out there. So bottom line, we'll just have to kind of forget about that for now and just try to concentrate on keeping our race car fast and then trying to win races.
Darren, we've seen this happen in many sports, and I know you're a sports fan, where you have a person come in, they're with a new team, and all of a sudden, right out of the bat, boom, you get a win the first night, second the second night, a fifth the third night. Guys are riding high, things are going well. Now the question is, how do you maintain that and take it to another notch that would help you to eventually go on and capture the World of Outlaw Championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's a new situation for me, even just being back on the road and being with such a good team that I feel like obviously can go out and win a championship. But the biggest thing would just be how we respond to adversity because, you know, bottom line, it's a long year. We're going to struggle. We're going to have our bad nights and that. And it's just how not only I and Kale and our whole team, and just how we respond and how we, you know, come back and salvage finishes on our nights that we're not that good, because you know that's going to happen. It's easy to be good friends and everything's, you know, happy and good when you're running well, but that's half the battle in sprint car racing is with a long grueling season that everybody's attitude stays good and we continue to work towards the same goal. You know, even after we've had a disastrous night, we, you know, got to bounce back and come back and know that we can win the next night. So but a long year to go, and we're all trying to still learn each other a little bit. Like I said, a lot of us have just met and hadn't spoke a lot, before Charlotte of last year. So definitely still trying to get to know each other, but really happy with how we started off and just how hard everybody's worked and how you start Florida. I think is just a huge resemblance as to how much time and effort and hard work the crew and team puts in over the winter time and how prepared and how fast the cars are from the time we unloaded, and that's just a big tribute to them for sure.
In reading the press release, you mentioned that you missed being out on the road. What was it that you were missing about being out on the road that ultimately led you to making the decision to leave the Heffner Racing team and go join the Casey Kane Racing team?
I miss the travel, and I miss going to different racetracks. I really, Williams Grove is one of my favorite racetracks in the country, but I've probably got 5 or 10 others, too, you know, that I hadn't been to in a lot of years. And, you know, when you get to have tracks that you really enjoy going to and friends that you've made in those areas that, you just stop cold and don't get to go back to, makes it tough. But I think the biggest thing that just bothered me the most was, you know, getting up in the morning or, you know, even after we finished racing, getting press releases from the Outlaws and seeing who won. And, as a sprint car fan and driver, I mean, I feel like, you know, the Outlaws is where it's at. I mean, I think that's where the best competition is and the toughest schedule and where the best teams are. And so to just, you know, for 4 years have to follow the results and from across the country is, a little bit, you know, not frustrating because I was in a great situation, but, just makes you want to work harder to get back out there so that you're not reading about it, you're part of it. And I was part of it for so long. It's just, it was normal life for me and my wife and our family at that time and what we thought was normal and what we wanted to get back to and what, you know, just kept us motivated to keep working hard to get better and run well enough so that we can get that chance again.
Well, of course, you had great success here in Central Pennsylvania, scoring numerous wins year in and year out. When you first came here, what was the biggest part of the learning curve that you had to adjust to continue the success you have had over the years? And as you now embark with the World of Outlaws, how do you think racing here in Central Pennsylvania has prepared you as a sprint car driver, and where do you think it has taken you in terms of your skill levels that's going to allow you to run with the Shots, with the Kinzers, with the Swindells, night in and night out, and challenge for that championship?
You know, I think running locally, we still never really picked up on very good, as we still just never picked up at, Lincoln and Port Royal and some of those regular tracks that people race every week. I still was never able to win at those places, very much, and when we did, it wasn't as near as much as we would like to. So, we were still, I think, at a big, not disadvantage, but you just realize how tough the local competition is at places that they race every week. And most of my success in the PA area came at tracks that, you know, those guys only ran once or twice a year. And, you know, I think that's where we excelled as far as going to a new place or places that, you know, teams didn't have a tremendous notebook behind them as far as how to get around. We maybe had the upper hand on some of those places. But any experience at Williams Grove, in the day, I've always been, you know, for the last several years, I've been fairly good at Williams Grove, and racing there more obviously helped me. And Williams Grove is a huge deciding factor in the Outlaw Championship, I think. I mean, I'm a firm believer in that. It's six nights out of the year, and, you know, it's only six, you know, out of, say, 80 or 90 nights. But when you go to a local track that doesn't have good local competition, you know, a bad Outlaw night, you run eighth or ninth, and a guy wins, so there's not a huge point spread. Well, a bad Outlaw night at Williams Grove, you don't make the show, or you run 20th, and you know, so if you, that's where there's a lot of points on the line at on those races, just because the competition, the local competition level, you know, fills in good cars in between you and guys that you're racing with for points. So I know that I'm better there now than I was the last time I did the Outlaw Tour. I know I'm more appreciative of the opportunity that I have, which I think makes me a better driver. And I think, you know, just I've got more years of experience. And sprint car racing, in my opinion, is all about experience and how you handle situations and how you bounce back on tough nights to, you know, get good finishes or wins.
You ran with the Outlaws for full-time back in 99. And, of course, you were the 01 Gumout Series champion. When you look back to that part of your career as a sprint car driver, to where you are now in 2013, what do you think has changed the most for you in terms of where you have improved the best as a sprint car driver?
I think mentally, you know, is my first thing that comes to mind. As far as ability-wise, I think, you have that or you don't. I think a lot of it is just mentally. You just know how to handle certain, you know, you change your goals, change how you approach every night. And, you know, in 99, I was young and inexperienced and, you know, just didn't know how to, you know, put together a full night of racing. And we'd be fast at times and then just disastrous the rest of the time. So, you know, I think you just look over the history of sprint car racing. It's always, you know, nobody young comes in and dominates. It's, I feel like guys that are in their mid-30s to even early 40s right now that, you know, between Joey and Donnie, and, you know, Donnie's my age at, you know, mid-30s at Delansky, you know, that are really, you know, Jason Myers, was, you know, before he quit, was, you know, my age. You know, been doing it a long time. So I just feel like I'm at the age that mentally I've done it enough. I appreciate it. I, you know, respect the sport and the other racetracks enough that, you know, we just maybe know a little bit better how to handle it. We still haven't ever really been in contention for a championship, so that's something that I still feel like I have to learn that is not going to be easy. You know, that I think experience will be in a huge favor as far as shots and some of them guys go. But as long as we've got a good race team behind us, I know we definitely will have a shot for sure.
Mentally, as a driver, can you tell how many more years you actually have left to race, or is it one of these things that just comes on as time goes by?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, try not to think about it. I just know that, you know, I feel like personally I'm in a, you know, the best spot that I've been in my career and better prepared and ready to run better than I ever have. But, you know, how long that goes or how long that continues to get better before it starts to go downhill, I have no idea. I mean, you know, Steve and Sammy and Jack and some of them guys on their best nights still look like they're 20 years old. So, you know, I, as far as a timeline, I have no idea, but it does seem like it's record racing. People are able to do it for quite a while.
And as you guys move forward now with the momentum that you do have that you picked up, even with the races that before the opener for the World of Outlaws, what are the expectations for the Casey Kane Racing team this season?
Well, I mean, they haven't changed. We, you know, if we would have missed all three shows, it didn't change our goals. I mean, it's we definitely started off good. But, you know, our goals when I joined the team is I knew coming into this, you know, when Joey was here, that this is a team capable of winning a championship. I mean, that's what was one of the, you know, lures to come in here and be a part of KKR. So, you know, our expectations go out and win a lot of races and try to win a championship. And I realized for our first year those are pretty lofty, but if I came here with any other goals than that, you know, I don't think I would have been the guy for the job. So we expect to win. We plan on winning, and we plan on trying to be there at the end of the year. It's going to be a tough battle and be a tough chore, but I think we're up for it, and we'll just see how the year plans out.
Outside the Outlaws, will you be able to do any other 410 racing throughout the year?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, there's maybe a couple dates here and there that might get penciled if the Outlaws allow us to, but it's not really that big of a deal with as many races as they've got on the schedule. You know, we don't really have very many off nights that we're really looking for something else to do. I mean, a couple years back when there was only 60 or close to 70 races on the schedule, they were, you know, the guys were begging to go look for races. But with 90-something, we don't have very many off weekends. We've got two coming up right now, which is really only, you know, the Lincoln opener, which, you know, obviously weather's a big issue on, so we have no intention of going up there at this time. But we'll just see how it goes and how many rainouts we get and if there's a race here or there. But right now our main focus will just be the Outlaw shows, and none are on the schedule as of now.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does not look like Mother Nature is going to cooperate and allow us to run this coming Saturday down at Lincoln. But in due time, hopefully she will. And hopefully one of these days we'll get the World Outlaws back at Sewan's Grove Speedway. That's one of my favorite tracks. I know you enjoy winning there. And maybe one of these days the Outlaws will show up there, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, no, I'd be one of the definitely be one of the first on that bandwagon. That's for sure. I've always enjoyed that. But I say that I haven't always enjoyed it. I was really bad there for a long time, and until we got to where, for whatever reason, we got pretty good. So I enjoy Sealands Grove, and definitely they've got a good enough fan base up there. They could definitely support one. So. It'd be pretty neat if they did. I'd be pretty excited about it, especially as good as we ran there the last few years. But we'll go wherever they tell us to. Some of them are favorites, some of them aren't. But we'll obviously just try to make the best of it and run as good as well as we can.
Well, Darren, as always, we thank you for your time. Greatly appreciate it. Always a pleasure to speak with you. We look forward to having you back on the show throughout the season here in 2013.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate the time for sure.
Sure thing. Darren Pittman from the number 9 Great Clips Casey Kane Racing 410 World Outlaw Sprint Car Team and your current World of Outlaw points leader joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Hi, this is Shane Cottle. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, the American Sprint Car Series will be kicking off their 2013 season coming up on Saturday. And we're joined now by the reigning 2012 ASCS Sprint Car Champion. They call him the Raging Cajun, Jason Johnson. Jason, always a pleasure to speak with you. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Hey, guys. It's always nice to be on the show, and definitely with all the PA support that we have out in Pennsylvania, definitely nice to be in touch.
Well, of course, you spent some deal of time here in central Pennsylvania, but looking at your schedule, looks like you're going to be crisscrossing the country for the upcoming 2013 season. First question is, how are you guys going to be able to defend that ASCS title while still being able to hit a few other sanctioning body shows throughout the year?
Our main objective for Stenhouse Junior Racing this season is obviously to defend our ASCS title. And what this is going to allow is when we do have a little bit of off time, we hope to run as many 410 events as possible. So this should give us the opportunity to race a little more, you know, across the country and do a little bit more 410 racing.
You're using the Roush Yates Ford engine, which is not around that long, but over the years, historically, Fords have not been the de facto power plant in a sprint car. What's been like working with this Roush Yates racing engine?
Well, it's definitely something different, you know. Ford made them march back in the day, back when Casey Luna and Dave Blaney used to race with the World of Outlaws. So for Roush Yates to present the opportunity to build engines and use the Ford power plants, it was a kind of unique experience. And obviously all this relationship come through Stenhouse Junior Racing, and just very fortunate, you know, that we got the opportunity to work at Roush Yates and their technology level, what they could learn and how fast they could catch on to things. They did an outstanding job for 2012, and I'm looking forward to 2013.
Well, you had a series-leading 14 wins last year. You had a series-leading 6 wins the year before. And as the press release says, you're looking to raise the bar this year. So what kind of goals are you guys setting for yourselves, and how can you improve on a series-leading 14 wins from last year?
You know, we definitely like to win over 14 victories for sure, but not really. What we want to do is, you know, we want to be on the podium each and every night. We want to be in a hunt to win no matter where we're at and just be competitive, you know. And it doesn't matter if it's with ASCS or racing with the Outlaws, All-Stars, or go back to Central Pennsylvania. Our main objective is to be a contender every night that we pull in the gate.
I remember reading that you started racing open cockpit cars back in 1993, and here we are 20 years later in 2013. What's been the biggest changes that you have seen in terms of the technology from the first day you were racing to getting ready for the upcoming 2013 season?
It's dramatically different, to be quite honest. You know, back in 1993, you know, we were building stock cars, and it was pretty well, you know, parts that you could gather up from the junkyard, or, you know, what my father and him had thrown aside that were still no longer going to race. And today, you know, everything is pretty well all store-bought, you know, for the most part, and once we get it in, we fine-tune everything. But, you know, motors come a long way, definitely chassis technologies come a long way, and definitely, without saying, shocks have improved a ton over the last few years.
And as a racer, where do you think you have to adapt the most these days in order to stay on the cutting edge as to where the technology is taking the sport to?
Well, I think, you know, from a driver standpoint, you know, it's important that you stay really sharp, you know, hand eye coordination, and probably stay a little more fit than the average guy would. So it's important to look after your health quite a bit from a driver standpoint. But from a team owner standpoint, it's important. I feel the most key ingredient to any race team is the people that you have working, that you're working with. And anytime you can surround yourself by people who inspire to be there each and every day and have the same common goals, wanting to win races, you know, you're going to achieve your results. So I would think the most key ingredient that's the most important would definitely have to be the personnel.
You started your Jason Johnson Racing team back in 2010. Of course, that year you won both the owner points and the ASCS national title. You were second, the first coming in 2008. What was it about that time, Jason, that you decided you want to build and form your own team? And what reservations might you have had in the beginning that may have kept you from doing that?
Well, how it all kind of come about is throughout the years, for 6 or 7 years, I drove for the Shop Motorsports out of Greenville, Texas. And as time went along, Mr. Lanny, who owned the Shop Motorsports, put more responsibility on my shoulders with making the financial decisions of what we needed to buy and just try to make logistics of it to make it work day in and day out and try to keep it afloat. So I learned the business aspect as time grew, racing for the Shop Motorsports. And at the time where he decided he wanted to get out, obviously at the end of 2009, you know, they chose to get out of the sport. I just had a lot of support. You know, he was definitely a supporter from the start, and we had a lot of local support there in Greenville, Texas. And then actually that was my first season driving down in Australia for Alan Haynes. And at after we spent a little bit of time together, I told him about some of the dreams I had in life and envisioning where I wanted to be at 3 years and 5 years from now. And he actually stepped up and said he'd love to be a part of that. And we put it all together to start Jason Johnson Racing.
Was that one of the 3 and 5 year dreams that you had, was to start Jason Johnson Racing? And what other dreams do you have?
Well, you know, one of the first dreams is to obviously build a successful race team, you know, that could function on its own. And you know, we could have something from a marketing company. You know, we could do some marketing across the United States. And, you know, obviously with the support, you know, it makes it easier to travel the country and do a little bit more racing. But our main focus is to get a race team up and going from the beginning. And as time's gone on now, you know, we set out to win ASCS championships, and we accomplished that. And probably our next envision, our next 5 years, is, you know, we'd like to eventually get to the World of Outlaw Trail and be a contender. We don't want to be there just to make up the numbers, but we want to be a championship contender and win our fair share of races. So that's our next goal we're working to achieve.
We're talking with Jason Johnson, the Raging Cajun, who is the current 2012 ASCS champion, as they embark on their season opener this coming weekend in Arizona on a Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, we just found out in reading on the website for Jason Johnson Racing, you have a baby boy on the way. That's got to be a real exciting time for you and your wife.
Yeah, it really is. You know, Bobby, obviously Bobby, you know, from Thomasville, Pennsylvania, she's been a, you know, the biggest supporter I've ever had in life. You know, over the last 12 years, we've had a lot of good times together, and we enjoy each other's company, and we want to enjoy life. We want to go down to Australia and have a good time and do the things that, you know, we got to experience throughout, you know, being married the first few years. And one of our dreams was, you know, eventually to start our own family, and things all worked out, and we're looking forward to this little baby boy due here in May.
Oh, that's wonderful. A future sprint car driver, or is mom going to have a say on that?
Well, you know, we're just going to support him whatever he wants to do. If he obviously, if he wants to go racing, you know, I would hope I could lead him down the right trail. But if he chose, you know, to play a little bit of golf or whatever he would like to do, or whatever it is that he wants to do, I'm definitely going to support him either way.
Good answer there, Jason. Good answer. I'm curious to find out. I know every racer is going to say they're out there to win every night that they strap into a race car. But now, as part of a team owner, having your own team, working with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Racing, when there's nights, and I'm sure you're going to have a night or two when this happens, when there are nights in which things just aren't going well, and you're in the back of the pack in the A main, say around 17th, 18th, and you're not moving forward, how much of a racer do you still have to be in order to protect your equipment? But at the same time, does the business side come into effect and say, you know, we're not going to be going any further than maybe one more spot? Is it worth taking that calculated risk, one more position to get a few more points? How do you balance the two when things are not going for you on a night when you're back in the pack of the A main?
I believe that just comes with time. I don't know necessarily if it has anything to do with being an owner or a driver, but, you know, when you're younger, you definitely take more chances, and wins mean a lot more to you. And it's kind of back to that old saying, win or wear it, when you're a little bit younger. But as you get a little more as a veteran driver, I think you learn to take it for what it is. And the nights where, you know, you might have a 10th place car, you might drive it a little bit hard to get to 7th or 8th or 6th or so, but you know you can't, you know, you're not in a position to go up and win the race. So I think it just comes with experience, and, you know, obviously we try not to position ourselves that way, but, you know, you just got to take it for what it is and definitely work a little harder the next day to improve.
What did you find in 2010, even though, as you said, you were giving more of the everyday workings of the team back in 09. What did you find in 2010 that was a tough thing to do, to try to juggle the business side and the driver's side, but you find now is a little more easier to do 3 years later?
Yeah, definitely in the beginning, it was definitely an eye-opener for sure, you know. As far as the race car and the equipment, that's only half the battle. You know, the other half is obviously to make everything get up and down the highway with truck fuel, pit passes, and meals, motel rooms, and it just adds up everywhere you turn around. The little stuff, nickel and dime stuff, such as paper towels and grease, the little things that you need. That was probably the biggest eye opener, realizing how much you actually spend just to have the necessities of what you need to operate day in and day out. But as far as equipment wise, I had a pretty good focus on where we needed to be and what we were doing, and I kind of had a budget of where we needed to be. So over time, you just seem to work with it all, and obviously you got to tend to allow a little bit more budget for everything for the entire race team.
Outside of the budget, the fuel going up, hotels, rooms going up, as you have traveled this country since 1998, what's some of the neat things that you've been able to do in traveling the country, but at the same time, what have you seen as some of the challenges and changes over time in traveling up and down the road following your dream?
Probably one of the things that, Bobby and I chose to do right from the beginning was to obtain a motorhome to kind of enjoy the travel, to enjoy that time together in between races going up and down the highway. And that's probably been one of the best things I ever did in life, or we actually done in life. And, what's really cool about being on the road and traveling from coast to coast or traveling a series is all the people you meet. I mean, you get to meet so many great people. And we actually have a lot of friends that we met, throughout the United States as well in Australia. And that's why we continue to go down Australia. But even like when we go to the West Coast, we have friends, and obviously it's fun to catch up for maybe a day or so. And, whether you enjoy a meal together or around the golf, it's the people that means the most to you, or that you cherish the most.
Well, Jason, as always, it's a pleasure to talk with you. We want to wish you all the best of luck, and you and Bobby, and the best of luck with the baby boy on the way there in May. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I was looking over your schedule. I see you're going to be racing in the National Open at Williams Grove October 4th and 5th. Any other races in Pennsylvania scheduled for the season that I may have missed?
And I believe for right now that's the only time we're going to make it back to the Pennsylvania area. And definitely look forward to coming in for the National Open. Obviously, we're going to work with Roush Yates throughout the season to better our 410 program. And providing things are going as well as we're expecting, we look forward to having a good outing.
Sounds good. Jason, as always, thanks for your time, and best of luck for your defense of your title, and have a safe racing season.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Sure thing. The Raging Cajun, Jason Johnson, the defending 2012 ASCS Sprint Car Champion, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.